Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, it is Wednesday morning. Think of all that science has done for us. You remember JFK, shortly after becoming president, declared that science would take us to the moon, and in fact, it did. But during this mental health month, you know, we put the focus on mental health and say, what has science done for the advancement of mental health? In some ways, it has helped. In other ways, we have a long way to go. Joining us right now, the author of a new book that explores just that in sort of a part memoir, part science book, The Mind and the Moon, My Brother's Story, The Science of Our Brains and the Search for Our Psyches. Daniel Bergner on the line with us right now. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning.
It's, I should point out that you are a best-selling author, written for the New York Times Magazine. You've written a number of books. This one, though, is highly personal for you, isn't it?
Very personal. So it tells my brother's story. When we were in our 20s, he was diagnosed as bipolar, hospitalized. Our parents and he were told that if he didn't adhere to a pretty serious drug regimen, medication regimen, that he would be suicidal, could likely take his own life. So our parents were terrified. I was terrified. He, after several years, though, because he is an artist, a pianist, took himself off medication. There were definite bumps in the road. It was not easy. But by his middle, late 30s, and ever since, so two, three decades now, he's lived a flourishing life, and this raised a lot of questions for us about how conventional psychiatry sees our psyches, ourselves, our minds. You know, I'm not here to preach to everyone to get off their medication. That would be utterly arrogant and misguided. But I hope this book, The Mind and the Moon, asks some important questions as we're thinking about mental health so intensely because of COVID in part.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that has really brought it to the forefront. Not that we weren't in a mental health crisis before 2020, but I think that it certainly exacerbated a lot of the problems that we were already dealing with, didn't it?
It really did. Exacerbated isolation. There's worry about patterns of teen suicide and attempted suicide. So lots of concern. But let me set some context. So the scientists I spent so much time with for the science side of this book, and they're the preeminent researchers into depression, into psychosis in the country, and they've spent their careers on this problem. They've been at it since the 80s. They would say, we really haven't made much, if any, progress in half a century or longer in terms of understanding the physical in our brains, sources of our mental health issues, and in treating those issues. Our drugs are basically the same since the 70s, and even you could say since the 50s. So with that in mind, it's not to say these medications don't work for some. They do. Let's just say roughly half, maybe, people are helped to some degree by them. But for the rest, and for those who experience serious side effects, even if they are helped, where do we go from here? How do we think about ourselves, our psyches? And I'm using our advisedly. This is about us. How do we think about us, and how do we think about helping us in terms of mental health?
It's a fascinating question, and one of the areas that you explore is the difference between the mind and the brain. And if you really stop and think about it, it can kind of floor you. Well, the mind and the brain, we use those words interchangeably sometimes, but they are not the same thing, are they?
No. And again, a really fascinating neuroscientist, psychiatric researcher, explained to me this way. He said, when I started my career, I thought we would have mental health solved. I thought it would be a little harder than cancer, but not too much. Well, of course,
wow.
We haven't solved cancer.
Right.
And he would say to me, look, this psychiatry makes cancer look dumbass simple. He also said this. Any other organ in the body, take its cells, take a little piece of this organ. It's doing what the organ does. So look at the heart cell. Anyone can Google this. You'll see heart cells pumping, like the heart pumps. You don't see brain cells thinking. And what he meant by this is, look, this is a completely, almost infinitely different entity that we have within our skulls. And we have to think of it that way. We can't just think about it as a simple physiological problem to be solved. Now, that leads other neuroscientists I spoke to in all kinds of directions, including the spiritual. I remember one neuroscientist apologizing for the woo-woo she was about to lay on me.
Mm-hmm.
But it does beg questions about who we are, what makes the self the self. It's not quite just the physical thing that we've been taught to believe.
In your brother's instance, he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, as you said, which, as I understand it, and I don't know an awful lot about this, but that's a chemical imbalance in the brain. And so the doctors, his doctor chose, as a form of correcting that, a chemical to sort of balance things out. Is that right? And how was he able to wean himself off that and still live a normal life?
Right. So two great questions within. So the idea of chemical imbalance came along in the 60s, 70s, and psychiatry latched onto it because psychiatry wanted to claim the mantle of being a hardcore science. The pharmaceutical companies claimed it because it made everything seem simple and able to be medicated. It doesn't quite turn out to be true. We can't measure imbalances in the brain. So this is sort of more of a metaphor than anything. Of course, introduce chemicals into the brain and you will affect the brain. And that's what our medications, whether they're antidepressants or bipolar medications, et cetera, do. But as a neuroscientist told me, our medications are so crude, it's like our brain is a water balloon and we inject the medication into the water balloon and it flows all over the brain. Well, of course, that means it's going to have some good effects, some delayed effects, some really terrible side effects sometimes. It's just not the exact science that we've been taught. And again, this is not to preach against medication. It's just to try to see past what we've been taught for 50 years and maybe take a new turn. I think in answer to the second question, just quickly, my brother, music, meditation, prayer, exercise, it would be hard to sway him on any given day from that combination. And that really creates the balance that he needs. And he's a wonderful and, again, as I said, a flourishing person.
The more we think that we know, the less we really do. This is fascinating stuff. I wish we had more time. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and I hope readers will connect with the Mind and Moon. I think we will all identify with the stories within. Again, thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.